Like an
Hey
intro.
everybody, how y'all doing? This is Corey John. Listen, welcome to the No Onions Podcast, where we talk to actors, producers, filmmakers, directors, crew members, craft services fans, and anybody else about their unpopular opinions about popular productions. Of course, you can follow us on social media at No Onions Podcast with Corey John. Today, I'm really excited. I got a friend of mine with me today. We was kind of cutting up before it started, so forgive me. But brief intro. He is a jack of all trades and a master of most. He is a poet, mime dancer, writer, videographer, video editor, production sound mixer, photographer, graphic designer, entrepreneur, songwriter, minister, husband, father, and a great friend, and one of the best actors I know, which is why he's here. If you are listening, please give him a round of applause, my boy, Mr. Veronzo Hurd. What's up, bro?
That's good. Now, that round of applause was good for me. But can we give a round of applause for Jesus? Huh? Hallelujah.
Hey, hey. Yeah, man. Listen,
also,
bro.
So you forgot to tell him I'm also a part-time superhero.
I did forget that. I thought you had a secret identity.
Well, I know, but they don't know who my hero name like that.
Okay,
they,
got you. Yeah, so they don't know which hero
me,
you are.
They call me for, like, groundwork, little. That's it.
So. Nah, facts. What's your superpower, bro? What's your
I can't tell you because then they will know. Yeah.
It'll give it away. They'll know who you are, and I got
my favorite superpower. Though, if I were to have a different one, is a Green Lantern ring, hands down.
What? Okay, so since we're here, because I don't know how we got here, but we're gonna go with it. What does a Green Lantern ring do? Like, doesn't it
I'm so glad you asked.
Okay,
the Green Lantern ring, is the most powerful thing in the universe. DC side for all the noobs. Basically, it's a ring. And with your willpower, you can create any type of construct to do whatever. They're like a space police force for real. John Stewart is the first Black Green Lantern, who's being portrayed by Aaron Pierre in an upcoming series on HBO, which is back now to HBO Max, by the way. If you see the Max change to HBO Max.
Yeah, I did see it went back.
Yeah, weird. But yeah, so I like that because, like, with your mind, you can create anything. That's why it's my favorite power. Like, my literally favorite.
I feel like it's your favorite power because you're real churchy.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know how that.
If you have the faith to believe anything,
that's actually probably so. But I don't know. But anyway, because I find God in, like.
As you should. It's funny. So let's talk about that then, because so as you guys can tell, he's also a nerd. I didn't put that in the description, but he is also a movie nerd, a comic nerd.
I'm a full time nerd.
All right. So Aaron Pierre is about to drop. That's when he came down the tunnel with the J. Hush.
Yeah,
I love those things too. I like Aaron Pierre too, man. Like the movie he had on Netflix. That's when I was like,
"Yo, hey, Rebel Ridge."
I said, "Okay, that boy bad."
But then, have you seen Old?
He was the football player.
Yeah, he was. He had the little braided thing going on. But yeah,
he had MS or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think he has something. I don't know. Yeah. But did you see his acceptance speech at the?
I did.
I forgot James. What it was. Yeah, he was quoting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man of God. Okay. Yeah. You know, I am churchy. Like, I'm like, okay, you love Jesus. Maybe you don't, but you at least know the Bibles are very important.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see kind of sort of what him and Miss Teyana Taylor are going to be and do.
They look good together, and she outwardly, and guys, this is not like a Christian podcast, but we Christians just for the record. And like she outwardly loves Jesus, so I'm very like interested in seeing what they build cool, to. Man. Yeah, I ain't gonna talk bad about nobody, but Anyway, yeah. So let me get on the show. We didn't spend 5 minutes talking about unrelated stuff. So listen.
Yes.
All right. So you have this theory. I've talked to you on several occasions. I was trying to get you to give me a movie or something that is, you know, popular that you don't feel like should be. And I feel like your response to me was, well, you agree with them because you knew first, like you knew they were going to be popular.
Mm-hmm. Films.
So one of your superpowers is the ability to be able to watch something and determine whether or not it's going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, how does that work? How do you know just by, because like I watch stuff that I like and then I find out nobody else likes it. So yeah. how do you
watch stuff? I think because I've been nosy my whole life and I spend a lot of time on people watching. And I care about people. I love people. You know, I have a heart for people. I don't know how that officially works, but I'm usually like spot on when something's gonna be like really popular, mm-hmm. when it'll be like kind of mid, and like, you know, when I'm like, this is about to be trash. Like this is really, really bad, actually. Wow. And I'm usually not wrong. I can't really tell. I mean, like just completely just utterly wrong about. But I can just, and beyond that, like I just see how people talk about it, you know, and very few things can you unite every like culture, color, creed across boundaries. So when everyone's talking about it, like, you know, just even from the trailer, even from the like next year, the Odyssey is going to be popular. I already know. And I knew that before I saw they already started selling tickets for it for next year. It's already sold out in some IMAX places as well.
Wow. We're not going to go too far into the Odyssey because they didn't pay to be a sponsor for this podcast yet. It's not too late, Odyssey. We could do a whole episode about you. But that's dope. That's dope. So, all right. So me and you have like this ongoing like conversation that we mm-hmm. get into. And before we get there, I'm just real briefly drop in. I remember when you and I had a talk about Bad Boys, the most recent one. And, you know, I love Bad Boys. I'm a Will Smith and Martin fan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, the last installment, you know, it was great, but it wasn't like great. But you was like, yeah, but the part when, what's the boy's name? Reggie come out and he was like, that was real big, and for sure like everybody loved that part. So anyway, I just wanted to say that to show how, you know, how you be hit how you be on it. But so we have this little debate thing or this little conversation that we do as far as some Marvel related
we're talking about Black Panther,
yeah. So it's culturally, right? So all right, so I feel some type of way that as a culture, as a Black culture, we didn't pull up in the numbers for Captain America New World like we did for mm-hmm. Black Panther. And yeah, so, and you basically, go ahead, share, like what, because I feel like it's a black lead, why we didn't show up and show out for, you know, both.
Mm-hmm. I told you that black lead is going to give you, like, if there's a pie, a black lead actor in an action film, major action film, you'll get the ninjas out. I don't know what I can say on this. So
no, ninjas is good. Yeah, don't
reggae. You'll get the kinfolk out there. But if they've already had a history of doing well, like the Equalizer, bruh, like from the first one, I already knew, like,
this is it.
And then two, oh my, and then three, I was like, this is
one of the only trilogies that like actually like kind of went up, you know what I'm saying? Like
precisely.
Yeah.
That third one, I was like, just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Like, that's
if you see his name, just go the other way. Like
he's John Wick on a more like very like street level, like very like, you know. And if they want money, they will put Denzel and John Wick in a movie together somehow, some way.
But they have to have the money
to, right, because that's going I don't know what debate. I don't know what Keanu Reeves, you know, charges for movies. If they put him and Denzel in a movie together,
yeah.
So I don't know how they would even meet, but figure it out.
Figure it out.
But back to your point.
Equalizing universe. Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, again, Denzel has a history of doing well, and actually he does well in really anything he does. He's Denzel in everything that he's in.
No fact.
But he does well in everything. Anthony Mackie doesn't have that type of history. One, two, it wasn't, again.
But Chadwick Boseman doesn't either.
Hold on. But hold on. Okay. He's more respectfully beloved than Anthony Mackie is.
But he is, and RIP, because I was a Chadwick Boseman fan. I think he's
you know, every time I see him, though, I'm like, it. I feel like it's.
Yeah, likewise. It's almost hard to believe, right?
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, respectfully, I feel like he didn't become beloved until Black Panther. And even after that, like after Black Panther kind of fizzled down a little bit when he passed away, I think that's when he really spiked, my opinion, as far as everybody now loving him. He wasn't given what he should have been while he was here.
Yeah, I think he was beloved before that, but he's never done this type of role, because Black Panther, his movie, wasn't the first time we saw him as Black Panther. He was T'Challa in Civil War, and in my humble opinion, a much better Black Panther.
He killed it. In Civil War, he could flip, and he was like,
he was like, I ask you as warrior and king. I was like, he's about to.
and I think it was dope too, because like in. I don't know how we got here. This is why we can't have conversations.
Right. Yep, this is right.
but in Civil War, he was whooping behind without the suit on.
When that scene when they were running through that tunnel, at the very end when and it's a spoiler, we haven't seen it. Oh well, I don't know why we haven't.
Yeah, it's way too late. Like, way too late.
When Zemo was about to off himself, he was like, what did that line say? He said, the living are not through with you. The living are not through with you yet. But to that point, Black Panther, if you take Black Panther and you draw a circle, right? And at every point put an actor, put a director, put a writer, put an artist on the soundtrack around every circle, each one of them carries their own fan base, period. Even the culture surrounding it carries its own fan base, period. So if you add, it's just math. If you add all that up together, and then what did they release Black Panther during Black History Month? I think they did. Hold on. I think that I gotta look it up. Yep. They released it in the Black History Month. So whoever's idea, whoever decided to do that. So take everything I just said, all the pie with actors and all their fan bases, and then multiply it. Like that's all that is, just energy. And now you've multiplied because you knew what was gonna happen. Go ahead.
Brave New World, yes. Also released on Black History Month.
Don't matter.
Brave New World, also Black director.
Okay.
So basically what you said is we just need to get Kendrick and SZA on the
Very, very fun. Oh, also, at that point, seeing Chadwick in it, because Anthony Mackie has done some action stuff before. Like, you know, is it his first time being the hero?
Yeah, you know, 100%.
Right. But seeing Chadwick like that was new. Back to my superpower. I knew Reggie. I knew that I saw Bad Boys, the last one, like day one, like on Thursday, mm-hmm. before day one, really. Wow. And I knew that Reggie part was gonna be a thing because he was some nerd. He was like, you know, this some regular regular dude, and then he's out here like bodies, him. Like he would drop, and I, because people like to see folk one step out of their character, but then two, they like to see a regular guy just save the day, you know. And so Chadwick, for you know, by and large, was a regular. Yeah, he played James Brown. Yeah, he played Jackie and a few other roles.
Thurgood Marshall.
Right, Thurgood. But like we ain't, you ain't seen him get down like this before. And so it's very new. Anthony Mackie kind of like riding the line of like, okay, we know he's physical. He can do, you know, this, whatever. You ain't never seen Chadwick run like, you ain't never seen him run like that. I know he could fight. I know he trained for this. He trained in another country for this. I like it. There's so much around it. And so because of the buildup, and on top of that, I think like there is a small detractor, because by the time Brave New World came out, one of my checking for America for real. I'm just,
that's a really good point.
Director and producer, and yes, a black lead. That's like three things, right?
But timing,
I wanted more big. Because the show to me, the show Falcon Winter Soldier was like blacker than the movie was, like especially because if you watch the show episode, I think it was episode 4, when the Dora Milaje show up and beat up fake the new Captain America, that scene.
Oh like, yeah.
But then we get more of a background story of Isaiah Bradley in that. Like it was a little more like heartfelt, down to earth, more like, you know, relatable. But add all that up, and then the buildup Marvel has had before Black Panther came out, because they kind of like, they're on, to me, Marvel's on a downswing, and then you release, it's like, so in 2018, like that's 7 years ago now, there was a buildup. We haven't got Infinity War yet, we ain't got Endgame yet, you know what I mean? So it's like the hype was still rich, and people were like ready for it, and like blah blah blah. So Black Panther, that pie, but Black Panther was it was destined.
That makes sense. I think all the highs of the the company at the time, or Marvel, the cinematic highs, working with the fact that, you know, it was we were in a decent place politically too, I can see all that, and then like with it being on the high and then coming right off of that, I can see it. And honestly, now that you say that, after Endgame, I mean, at the end of the day, it was kind of sad. Like it was a lot of people dying, people retiring. Like, so just from cinematically, like it's almost like you said, they had to, like, they were here, and now we're like, maybe they're trying to build back up, to get to that again. I think
is
on the way.
Yeah, and remember, it's just February.
Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm. Like Obama was just president right before that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. It's like there was never, I don't think there'll be a time anytime soon where like all of those intersections will happen like again.
And you know that
right now.
I want to get, so that's a thing too, that I, and just talking about those intersections, like aligning perfectly. You know, I tell people a lot of time, when it comes to the reason why I prefer film over like stage, is because if you can get the right angle, the right take, the right lighting, the right reaction from the other actor, like you can get all those things to sync up perfectly, like you can get a moment that just is unduplicatable. Mm-hmm. And just perfect. So I dig that now. I feel what you're saying now. Like it everything, the culmination of everything was just perfect. But not to go too far down there, because Marvel ain't paying us either. So what since we're talking about movies, what do you feel like are the three most important things or you know, contents to creating a successful movie? Just three. Yeah. I know you probably got 20, but
oh my gosh, I have something because I'll go to a movie and my brain, like, there's two of me. One is just a regular fan who just enjoys the magic. Movies are never going to die, ever. The movie theater really, people thought that COVID would kill it. It's never gonna die.
Yeah, it's something. It's something about being there, man. It's,
right. Like AI. And people think AI is gonna. I think AI like will make things easier for some people, but I don't think AI will be completely take over movie and not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
But to your point, when I go to a movie, I sit down, I'm looking, I'm watching. To me, cuts like Catwoman, for example, which I wish Hollywood have never in her life ever did that, ever, not ever. Like the jump cuts, it's just like just every 2 sec, it's too much. It's too much. If you're telling a story, mm-hmm. like I think it has to just flow. Like it has to just go, like even like you can cut, like, but like to me, like it they were having a conversation, like Holly and someone else, and like they just kept going back and forth. And I pulled my hair out. I did. I hate it. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it in any capacity. I don't like why they changed the story. I don't like it. Anyway, I'm gonna keep saying that. But anyway, so to me, like a movie has to because
that woman would be DC. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. What was the other one?
Number one, like a movie has to be cohesive, and like that's like the story has to just flow. And sometimes bad camera angles, or not angles, but some bad cuts can like ruin like the flow of it. Even if the acting is kind of bad, like the camera work can be on point.
I feel like you're saying that as a videographer /
editor. I mean, you can see it now because people have their phones and movies that look and flow. One, they can't act. This is skit, but it looks really good. So, like, it has to be cohesive for me. Like, story, the cuts, the video work, like, has to be well. But even if that's not well. Mm-hmm. The writing has to be done well. I'm trying to think of a movie that like I didn't like what the camera was doing, but I appreciated like the story itself. I don't know yet, but like the writing has to be well. Like I would say Sinners had everything, so I can't really give. I had nothing bad to say for real about Sinners. Like a couple like personal things, but not like as far as anyway. That so like it has to flow as far as like where you put the like how you storyboard it, you know, like that has to flow. The writing for me is a thing. Like, and writing includes like what they're saying, like when you play certain, like if there's like a comedic relief, you know, like where that, like Marvel does it all the time. It's like bad thing, jokey thing, like but like where you put that is important. If characters like if the timeline is messed up, it's so obvious to me. Like you said that, like, and when they say lines over and over again in a different way, I'm like, yeah, but like you can't don't. Because now, like, are you being lazy or what are we doing? So writing in that, so, like storyboarding, writing, and lastly, it has to have a good, like, the acting, like, obviously, like, is important to me. Okay. And to me, it's one thing if you're just a bad actor or like if it's your first time, I give everybody grace, sure. Yeah. I'm critical. Like, I haven't been no major. I have some IMDb credits. You know what I'm saying? Corey done put me in a few plays. shout out to Wow. Shout out to Tangie back home in Columbia. But to me,
that's wild. Yeah.
but to me, acting is important. And I look at eyebrows. Some folks don't really eyebrows. You think it's like, boy, are you crazy? Boy, are you crazy? Like, it's like there's a, like, move your eyebrows. I look at eyebrows. I look at, like, I listen to tone, mm-hmm. and inflection and how people get angry. And I'm like, you ain't mad enough. You ain't mad enough. How folk do, like, romance, like, intimate scenes and whatnot, like, how I look at body language. If you're supposed to be a villain, how good of a villain are you? What is actually scary about you? And if you have, like, a redeemable quality, like, what is that? Because to me, like, I know Thanos was CGI, but, like, the actor did well as him. Voice matched, everything matched. Mm-hmm. I know Heath Ledger was crazy, but to me, he had no, and rest in peace to him too, Joker and that Batman had no redeemable qualities. He was literally just, but he did crazy so well.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to scream all the time to be crazy. You can, like, be very calm and be crazy. You know, so, like, I look at all that, like, how the actors, like, I guess, express themselves, you know, in whatever what to express.
There's a show that comes on Showtime. I don't know if you watch it. It's called The Chi.
I'm so behind.
I caught up probably like a couple years ago, mm-hmm. but now I'm like I'm all caught up. But there's a, do not say it because we are not bashing people. Mm-hmm. But just see if you can follow me. I don't know what season you're on, but there's this guy. He's been in there for maybe 3-4 seasons, mm-hmm. now, and every time his part happens, I'm like, like
cringe.
Yeah, and it's like, I know him outside of that, right? And I'm like, I know you have more emotional exchange than what you're presenting on the camera, and it's just like, hey bro, like, I don't believe your character, and I want to, you know what I'm saying, like, I really want to, but, like, it's always a mismatch, like, either his tone is doing one thing but his face isn't, or his face is doing one thing and then his tone isn't, and it's like, bro, like nobody said cut, hey bro, listen, man,
all right,
you just do that again. I'm just not feeling it. Like,
I understand.
Anything, you know. So I feel you. I feel like one thing that you can say about, like, Marvel and DC and all that, like, I can say, just thinking off the top of my head, I've never seen anything that I didn't agree with acting wise, right? And I've never seen, like, and that's a lot to be said too, because you gotta think about it, like, these people are acting in green rooms with toys. You know what I'm saying?
Involved, and they gotta remember their lines if they gotta play different people.
Yeah, and they I made a post one day, like, acting is really foolish. Like, it's really childish. Like, you're being really serious while you have a play gun. You know what I'm saying? Or you being really serious while you're fighting somebody who's not there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so. Yeah, acting is so pivotal. It's so important. So I completely agree with you. I think that's kind of a running theme with a lot of people on the show, that when they give their three, a lot of people give acting. And people who don't, I know one person didn't, and I questioned it at first, but I was kind of like, I get it. Because you got to also remember, we have shows like You Got Served that were successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know? so I get it. So, but But that's when the cohesion, like you said, comes into place. That's when the writing comes into place. Yeah. Because say what you want about You Got Served, but the storyline was okay. Now, I don't understand why, they was thugs dancing. You know what I'm saying? Like, why they was, like, transporting drugs just so that they could perform. When they could have just took the money from the drugs to pay off the house. You know, but hey, you know what I'm saying?
It's a cult classic.
Yeah, for sure.
But I totally agree with that, because sometimes the hype of a movie can like override some of the glaring red flags in it. Also, some movies I can't go back and watch the same anymore. Some shows I can't watch the same anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I like this? Like, where, like this, or this is like Girlfriends, for example. I was a young man watching Girlfriends all the time. And now I go back, I'm like, this show is toxic. Like, and even watching Moesha, I'm like, going back, I'm like, great, I love the show. I'm like, you know what, Moesha, you're the problem.
And again, I don't know how we keep doing this, but the funny thing about shows like that, though, like you said, as a young man, just like watching it, you know, just being entertained or whatever.
Yeah.
Then as you mature, not only is it toxic, but then you find out how realistic a lot of this stuff really is. Women, y'all be out here wilding, bro. Like, y'all, like, that's really like, I know some girls, and especially before I was married, like, y'all out here wilding, like,
like, you are all of these women that are like, this is
wow.
But I appreciate that, because to me it means that there is growth in my life. I'm not still childish, not mature. I have a lot of mature ways, but you know, but some shows are just so timeless, no matter what age you watch them, no matter what, some movies work no matter what, how old or young you are. And I think that to me is, and to me that makes a movie great, and not just because, like, you know, it's just hype or there's a lot of like cultural ties to it. Those are great too, but like a movie that like can stand the test of time,
that
everybody can watch forever. Like, I think that makes
anything great. That makes songs great. That you know, like it's songs out there. Like, I'll see my daughter who is, you know, 18 and she rocking to something I listened to when I was 15. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
it's peanut butter and jelly, Corey. Like, I don't care how old I get, I'm always forever, if we can eat in heaven, enjoy a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Matter of fact, I may have an issue. I may have to talk to God about it if there's not peanut butter and jelly in heaven.
Like, I don't.
We might have to have a conversation.
You can never pull it from my cold, dead hands, because I'm going to enjoy it. But like, some movies are, like, for me, The Sandlot is in my top
5. Oh, man, 100%.
Like, forever and all. Like, forever and all time. Like movies like that, for me, they do something to me. Like, there's so much magic, and like Disney used to have a lot more of that magic in there. Yeah. But I think what also makes a movie great is really like that. Like, do you want to see it again?
Yeah.
Like, do you want, and would you pay to see it again? Like, I saw Black Panther 6 times in IMAX, and not ashamed, will do it, would have done it all over again. Not even my top 4 or 5 Marvel movies, to be honest, but top 5, sure. But it's not in my top 3, but I saw it 6 times, because and it's better now to me than it than it was.
So
then
I subscribe to Disney Plus only so I can watch Infinity Wars and Endgame at least once a week.
That also, this is number 5, obviously, but that also makes a movie great, when you can write so well and you can engage an audience so well for 20 years, really.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And just like we're on the same train. We're riding. We are anticipating what you're going to do next. Obviously, that plays into like the fanboyism and the blurs and all of that. Like, you know, we're waiting. But they were, Marvel movies were exciting to watch. Like, and they told the story. We're like, oh, what's next? and you got everybody on the same page. You got the world on the same page.
Clear something up for me real quick. What? Since we're talking about Marvel. So Secret Wars is coming out, or Doomsday. One of them is coming out first.
Doomsday is coming out.
Doomsday's first. That's the one with Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now Dr. Doom. So put that, boom. Is that the same guy from the second Fantastic Four?
Yes. The better Fantastic. Yeah. The new one comes out in a week, so
yeah. But like because you know, it's been like three that came out or four that came out before.
First two had the same people. It actually started Captain America as Human Torch.
It was one before that though.
No,
I know it was one with that had Michael B. Jordan.
That was the third one that came.
Yeah, yeah.
Out.
But I thought it was one before Chris Evans. That's okay. So if not, cool. So on that first one
with Chris Evans.
Yeah, I know those two. I just watched those last night. so I got the, all right. So yes. with those two, I swear I feel like there's one before, but I'm gonna find it and tell it to you. I think it's real old. But
it might be old, like a super old one.
Yeah. That's what I think. So the one with that, so that's Victor Von Doom too, right?
Victor Von Doom, yes.
Von Doom, yes. So that's why we're setting up with the Fantastic Four now to get ready for that. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I think they're going to explain how Robert Downey Jr. is Victor Von Doom because
I saw a lot of theories that say that, like,
yeah, yeah. I don't want to spoil that. Like, yeah. I saw those. I was like, that's what you know. But there's like a small arc in comics where he does become Doom, but to me on Dooms, there we go. So I don't like when they nerf characters that make them like smaller than they should.
Yeah, and I think that's what they did on the first.
I like how they did it with black folk throughout the movie history. Like we just were like a supporting role, but Doom in the Fantastic Four with Chris Evans in it. He's that ninja. Don't mess with him. He's like T'Challa, has his own country, very smart, all the technology, all the stuff, and a little bit of magic. So in the first or second Fantastic Four that you know with the Chris Evans and Jessica Alba,
I had a crush. Alba, that's my homie. I live from Honey.
Yeah, but like. He was dope. And then with the one with Michael B. Jordan that no one asked for. That's why I don't like movie politics. But it's like Marvel politics.
go back to your point.
To these people, and they have to make a movie, and they just make... Like, I enjoyed... The thing looked dope in there. I didn't mind Michael B. Jordan
I didn't mind Michael B. Yeah.
The characters themselves were fine to me. The movie was bad, and then you take a weak Dr. Doom, and you it was bad. But that's an example of like how you can have good characters in a terrible movie, as well. So I hated that, we'll see next week what they're going to do. Have you watched The Bear yet?
The cooking show,
the
restaurant show.
Yeah, yes, that's you just diminished. Okay,
I saw like the first two episodes from the first thing.
You should watch it.
Okay, you said this to me before. I'm gonna watch it one day. Every time I start, I feel like it's like a like one of those you got to pay attention.
Well,
shows.
you do-ish, yes.
And I don't, lately, I have not had a lot of downtime to just pay attention. Like, I can, like, do stuff, you know, I can, like, play it while I'm doing stuff, you know. Yeah, but I notice when I watch that, I have to watch it and rewind, and then, I miss something, rewind, and that, you know, that's a lot of.
Okay, but are we clear on why Black Panther was the success it was and how
we've been clear on that. Okay, so let me get something a little more personal real quick, because we run it way over. I said 20 minutes, we 20 times two.
Part one, part two.
I'm not doing all the editing. I'm just gonna upload it.
all you gotta do is just cut down the middle.
You say that every time. We're not going there. Every time you say it, I'd be like, I'm trying, and I say, hey Brian, can you just do this for me? Yeah. So we're not doing this. All right. So listen, So I wanted to, like, talk about something real quick, and I'll probably, like, cut this too and kind of, like, do a reel out of it, because it's always something that you and I talk about. Yeah. And I feel like as a man who has a family, right, who has a family, who has a wife, who is not the custodial parent, who has, like, all these, and you know, I'm not going to get into all that, because, you know, of course, women think that, you know, being the custodial parent is harder, and men think that being the non-custodial parent is hard, and I think they both have their hearts, so we're not going to try to make one harder than the other, right, on here. But, you know, as, like, with those things going on and also trying to attain a certain goal, right, a goal that takes time, that takes focus, that takes effort, that takes sacrifice, as well as a family that takes time, that takes effort, that takes sacrifice, you know, like all those things. Like how does one effectively balance both while being successful at both?
Great question, Corey. I'm actually in school right now. And I start another course in less than a month, actually.
Oh, congratulations on that too.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. It's important that you have somebody who's willing to support you. I think we talk about ability a lot.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before you finish, what the kids say? Clock it.
we talk a lot about compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to focus more on suitability. And I say that because some people might be compatible, sure, for business, for whatever.
Yeah, I like this, you like this. Yeah,
like, hey, great, awesome, right. But our life isn't compatible with heaven. Our human nature, our sinful nature isn't compatible with holiness and righteousness. But I think to find someone who's suitable, who will also with you tailor their lives and their goals and their days and their dreams to suit the unit, to suit the goal, to suit the pursuit. It's more because love is supposed to grow. Like if you're in love with somebody, like literally, which we really all are in love, but when you choose someone to be with forever, like you, that's where you start. Y'all cannot, like, it. Some things don't have to be the same at all. Like you, but you learn to love the parts, and you learn to grow to. Yeah, love covers a multitude of sin, of course. And I think if you have somebody who's willing to be in there with you, in love with you, and that's for better or worse, that's through the ups and downs, that's through sickness and in health. Like, yo, if you have a dream and you have to pursue it, and you pursuing that takes time away from us, or has you more focused on this in some areas, and where you were more focused on us or doing whatever, I can pick up the slack. And at the same time, as if you're pursuing a dream and you got to be focused, you got to be in school, you got to be on the computer, you got to be away from your family, you pick up your own slack when you're done, or you find ways in between. It's not easy, but marriage is the hardest thing you ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's the most beautifully dangerous, crazy, weird. It destroys and agitates your immaturity and your complacency, sometimes even your peace.
It's almost like there's a rose garden,
mm-hmm.
and you want to walk into the rose garden knowing there's thorns all over the place.
And bugs and wasps. But you're
choosing to walk through this rose garden because you love the roses that much, you know?
And you're walking through with somebody. Yeah. And I like that analogy because I told my wife, like, you know, we always say, like I'm the flower and she's the gardener. And sometimes she's the flower and I'm the gardener.
Yeah,
it depending on the season, the week, the day. Like, and sometimes we're both the flower, and we just need God.
100%. I think too, like you were mentioning, like all the stuff that you have to like endure, but like you endure the growth and the setback. And I think a lot of times, me and my wife haven't been married that long, but we've been together for a minute now, and you know, one thing that I admire about her is I don't have to be perfect with her. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like I see a lot of like marriages where people are thinking that, you know, that perfection is mandatory and mm-hmm. that like, you know, if this person isn't growing, then you got to cut them off. But there is time when you have to, like, you might fail and you got to back up and reassess, you know what I'm saying? And I love the fact that my wife does that. But to also bring up like how she contributes to the goals and to even to my children. Cause like I'm a non-custodial parent. So a lot of times, like I do have to like do a little extra to be present for my children. I do have to do a little extra to make sure I can have an impact on them and be present for them. And you know, like those things. And she's not a person that sits back and says, you know, she's like, you talked to Junior lately? When last time you saw your daughter? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or our daughter, because we don't separate, yeah. You know.
Right.
Like, so, and she's real intentional about that. And I, like you said, like, I feel like if that's your situation, right? Like, I ain't saying if you're a single man out here and you got, you know, kids and stuff, you got to do what you got to do, bro. But if you are married, make sure that you are with somebody who is going to, and I say hold you accountable in a loving way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
well, that's where communication and like real like love comes in. You have to have vision for mm-hmm. your life, some kind of a vision. My wife fits so well into that vision. Yeah. She's so much cooler than I am. Like I say, she's the gardener because I came with thorns. I had bugs in me. I'm poisonous as well. Like, yeah. but she knows she's like she had the green thumb. Literally, like she knows how to take care of plants.
Her thumb you know? Green.
So yeah, her thumb green. Like she knows how to take care of
mine
plants
too.
Like she, see, but she knows like what plants need.
Yeah,
like, she knows. Yeah. She was pruning plants yesterday, which is, you know, I'm deep, so I'm like, this is spiritual. But like she knows, like Veronzo, like I came here with like nothing because a lot happened before I got here, and I was trying to overcompensate for it, all of my own personal lack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time she's like, just watching me just be still. Like, yeah. Just stop. I didn't ask for all of that. I don't need all of that. I need you to be present. I need you to be here with me, not with your failure, your emotions. And
so as a man who works like a full-time job, man pursues his goals, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I have like literally hardly no downtime, right?
Right.
I wake up at, and I ain't giving y'all my business. Anyway, I have long days, like really, really long days. And mm-hmm. some days, you know, I have like stress. And my wife will tell me real quick, like, look, you can quit the job. We can figure that out. But I need you here.
Literally, I was like, I'm about to go get two jobs. Like, no, you're not. And I was like, babe, we got like, and it's hard because as a man, like, I want to take care of. Like, I'm not a thing where like men have to be the provider, the main provider.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time, like God is the provider. Mm-hmm. I manage and steward what He gives us, what He gives me.
And there's a very delicate like dance with that too. I feel like too, because as she reaffirms that all she needs is my presence, the more I want to do for her.
Like, you know, like what you, I will march down the street.
Yeah.
Parade for you. There's things like you can't see our background, but we have like Funko Pops and like little toys and like all kinds of stuff. Like my wife is vintage. She got that 90s vibe. She is so much cooler than me. Like I say all the time. But sometimes there's like some stuff she wants that's like really hard to find. And she'll say it. And in my head, I'm like, challenge accepted. I will find on the internet. Like I will go scour just to find that one book, that one Bart Simpson Funko she wants so bad. Like I will look until it's found, or I'll make it myself. And because like the grace I have to be able to even be married again, that God will still bless my marriage and my life after what my life was and what I did in my life, is so like it's just gratitude. And if you have someone who has vision with you, who y'all are talking about vision, your vision, you can make steps towards vision. You might not have downtime, but everything is flowing in the same direction. So even when you get, when it gets bad, because it gets bad, when it gets hard, it gets heck of hard. Even when you get depressed, because depression is steadily just finding a corner in the house somewhere. Like you can remind each other of like what it is and who holds tomorrow. Yeah. Because a lot of times I worry. I am the most outgoing person you ever met, but I, underneath all of that extraness that Lorenzo is a fire of worry and a fire of doubt and fear. And yesterday I had a lot happened in one day. We got like three phone calls in like really a day and a half, like, and it's bad. Yeah. And I'm down. I'm like, okay, you know what, God, you got it. But then when it gets quiet, I'm like, I'm hugging the pillow. I'm just like, I'm about to bust out in tears. And she's like,
yeah, bro.
And I'm like, yo, this is actually a lot. So she goes, gets the Bible.
Oh, she goes, gets the Bible.
Reads to me and reads to me. Wow. Like, and I'm looking at her. I'm listening, but like, wow. I'm looking at her like,
wow.
Like, it's just like, you.
Listen.
But you need somebody who's willing.
Nothing like it, bro. Nothing like it. You, bro, man. And I'm sure we could exchange stories like back and forth, like over and over, probably for another hour. But
real quick, just single man or single woman. I don't know why I had this cocoa butter. But
it's single man is.
You can't be ashy. You got it. But like, it's less about what they can do, about the ability. It's about if they are willing. Because if you love X, you will or you won't do for X. So X can thrive. So you and X can thrive. I fixed the dryer the other day. I don't know nothing about no dryer. But you know who does? YouTube University and ChatGPT. Yeah. Like my wife is Barbara the Builder. She can build everything. And I mean literally, I'm not even
mine
not even
too.
Everything. I'll be like, oh, you need help with okay.
Yeah, I saw a meme the other day that said marriage is basically your wife wants to do a project and you pretend you're gonna go help her, and all you're really doing is just sitting out there and watching you do it.
I'm the nurse. But I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that we thrive and she thrives. And she's willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that I thrive and we thrive. And it's about, it's we have a will issue with anything, with the dream. Because like, shout out to you, Corey, John, Noel, Brown, Papa, Diddy, Diddy. He's not Diddy.
No Diddy.
He's a man of many names. But like you're a dreamer. You've always been a visionary. Always, you have a catalog of stories you haven't told yet that you've written, and you just made something amazing, you know, and you keep making things that are amazing. This podcast is dope, bro. With all that's going on, because you're busy, like you said, you're a father. Because some things that we deal with are just consequence, and there's good and bad ones, but we wanted to be married, so we got to deal with the burden of being husband, of being a parent. And for guys like me, I had to deal with the consequence of being a hoe at one point before I found Jesus, you know. So it's like, but even with all of that's going on in your life, you push through. You saw an opportunity to go ahead and like pursue this dream. And bro, here you are. You're doing the thing that you saw. A very, very dope person said, Kristen, last name. She sings Dark Skin, really dope.
Baker. Anyway,
thank you. She said one day, Kristen Baker, hey Kristen Baker. She said, I won't stop until I see what I saw. And I was like, that's it though. That's really it. And when it comes to being with a partner, it's the same thing. Like, yo, here's our 3-year plan, here's our 1-month plan, our year plan, whatever the plan, you know, share your plans with God and they'll be successful. But like, now we know what we're doing. So when it doesn't work, we have a goal. When it gets weird, we know why we're staying in this. When I don't like her and she don't like me and we got beef or whatever, or it's a little quieter and
quieter treatment, silent treatment.
But you're my rib. You're me. We have we're us. Us is the goal. Us in Christ is always the goal. So whenever we are, wherever we're doing, this is we need to line back up to what this means. Right. So and so get somebody who's willing. They may not look the best right now or dress the best. I got drip now to my wife. But like willing.
Yeah, this to be came there from my wife too. She made me.
You look like a director. You have a whole director vibe going. Like somebody who is. Are you willing? What will you do to see it through? Or what won't you do? What do you need to prune and cut off to see this thing you want happen? And that's what makes it easier.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. Paying bills is hard. Work is hard. School is hard. Marriage is hard. And people, someone said that the honeymoon phase should last forever. Who honeymoon phase? No, it don't. That's stupid. Don't ever tell nobody that. That's stupid. Yeah. That's dumb. But
that's a setup. That's a setup.
Failure. But she's willing to be here with me, even with all of my issues. The point is, I shouldn't have that. I mean, still have the same issue over and over again.
Yeah.
But if we all love people better, bro, if we love ourselves better, our dreams won't always seem, well, I'll start next week. I'll start next year. I'll start 3 years. I'll love better next year. I'll treat her better. I'll treat him better, you know. Whenever I get better, then I'll treat them better. And we've done love so wrong for so long to each other that like people are afraid of getting married, afraid of getting hurt, afraid of being great at the same time. Like get somebody in your team, in your business, in your under you, next to you, in front of you, who's with you, who's willing to be in there with you. Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right, we well over, but that's good stuff, bro. I hope people watch to the end. I'm gonna label this one a little differently. I think I'm gonna let them know this is gonna be a more empowering episode. So a lot of Easter eggs on it, not Easter eggs, but a lot of seeds being sown.
Yeah, seeds
in this one. So yeah, man, I appreciate you, bro.
Give somebody some advice for you. Have 15 seconds. Encourage somebody who's trying to do what you do. You're a director. You're a writer. You're an actor. You're a video producer. You do all of it. You're a visionary. How?
My advice, real quick, if we're talking about film and all this stuff, or passion in general, purpose, keep doing it. Do it when you're scared. Do it when you don't know what to do. Do it when you don't feel like doing it. Just keep doing it. And if you fail, it's just another thing that you learn. It's just another thing that you've picked up, something else is going to help you with the next one, and just keep doing it. I always feel like momentum is key. And what happens a lot of times, we do something and then we might have not done well. So then we wait a few years before we try it again. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. It's so much. I think Tubi has been a testament to that, because there's people who are continuing to hit stuff on Tubi and yo, they're killing it. So
yeah, very good. Keep doing it. Corey John, everybody.
All right, bro. We got to head out. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in to the No Aims podcast. Follow Veronzo. Heard, I promise you, everything that you need entertainment wise, he got it. And if you need some spiritual feeling, he got you too. Y'all be blessed.
Follow Corey John. He don't put his ad on. I don't know why he never does that ever at all.
It be in the description.
Anyway, love you, bro. Thank you for having
me. Love you, bro.